Good morning. The reading is taken this morning from Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 to 58. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor." And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith.
There we go. So, Dave, come on. It's just been fantastic again to spend this weekend with Ruth and Christine and, and David. And it's such an incredible blessing to us, and but also just an amazing encouragement as well. And We honour them, you know, for their ministry, and what they're doing across the whole of the UK is brilliant, and is equipping and enabling and building up the church. And so we just want to say thank you for being with us again, and we bless you for that. And I just pray for you as you come. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which it lives in David. And we just want to pray right now, Lord, that your spirit would be upon the words that he speaks to us, Lord. You've anointed him for this task, Lord. And we just want to ask, Lord, that you'd release this word in power to us. Let it be and do all that you need it to do, Lord. And we know that it will not return to you void until it has completed the fullness of the work that you set it out to do. So, Lord, we come with open hearts, Lord. We come with open minds, and we just ask, Lord, that you would breathe life into us, Lord, through this word. Breathe life through David, Lord, into him, Lord, overflowing rivers of life into us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Rick. Can I grab one of the music stands to use as a lectern? I know when you go somewhere, you're supposed to say nice things about the place you go to, okay? So I'm telling you the truth now, I'm not preaching. We do love coming here. And we go lots of places, and most places don't do hymns. The sort of places we go don't do hymns. So Ruth is in hymn heaven. You know, she's like, it's a hymn, it's a hymn. And we're staying, is it the Dyer's house? Is it the Dyer's? Okay. They have a piano. And Ruth found it. And so this morning we woke up to hymns, ancient and more ancient. Drifting around the house. It was great. We really did enjoy it. So we love all of that. The sozo thing, Christine and Ruth do that, and I carry their bags and drive. And no, I really do. And you need to know that as a ministry that's exploding around the UK, it really is. There are thousands of people who've been trained in the sozo ministry. And it's taking place in hundreds of churches, and hundreds of people a week come and get blessed to doing sozo. So it's awesome. It's a supernatural pastoral tool, yeah, that sets people free from their issues, but also from their dependency on other people, without destroying community, yeah, which is a really good thing. Okay, right, so. You're familiar with the idea of prophecy, yes? Okay, so I feel I've got a word for someone who's not even listening to me right now, which is going to really embarrass him. So, bro at the back, you went out and you came back in. I'm so glad you came back in. Is that all right? You're wondering, what on earth's going to go on now? Okay. Is this your church? Do you come here regularly?
Not regularly.
Yeah, that's what Jesus told me. He said, tell him he's a bad boy, I've been taking a register. You know that's not true, right? Okay, so when you walked in earlier, the really strangest thought dropped into my head, which I think came from heaven. So you walked in, and you got the whole beard thing going on, yeah? So you walked in, and you were wearing flip-flops. And God said to me, tell him he's a lumberjack in flip-flops. And I'm like, tell him what? You know, that's not even in the Message version of the Bible. It's just crazy. So I'm asking God, you know, so what's that about? What's that about? And you need to know there's a grace on you to feel comfortable in two different places at the same time. Yeah? There's a grace on you to be out there in the wilderness and the adventure, and you love going over stuff, after stuff. You're not a settler in that. In that sense, you there's a bit of adventure about you, yeah. But there's also, in terms of your feet and where you go, there's also an ease and a grace about it, yeah. Because lumberjacks really ought to wear safety shoes, yeah. They ought to wear rugged stuff that protects their feet. But you need to know that the grace on you is such that as you get adventurous, you can still stay chilled about it. Yeah, hasn't got to be a difficult, hasn't got to be a scary thing for you. You can be chilled in your adventure. Yeah, but never let go of either one. Yeah, never get too intense about the adventure that you lose the chilled feet, and never get so chilled about the feet you lose the adventure. Be a lumberjack in flip-flops. Be a contradiction to what people expect, and be a contradiction, and be comfortable being a contradiction to everybody else's normal. Okay. Because you really don't like the idea of being normal. Okay? Is that all right? Okay, awesome. That's great. Okay, back to sermon. Get back on track. this is the first time I preached a sermon. Okay? So you're supposed to find a title for a sermon, aren't you? Yeah? Because they're going to go, what's the title of the sermon? So the title of the sermon is, Have You Ever Been Stoned? So half the room's going drug culture, and half the room's going, I'm sure that's in the Bible somewhere. Okay? But we throw stones at each other, don't we? Yeah? People throw stones. And some people, when you say stone, think this. Oh, that's a stone, isn't it? Okay? Other people think this. And you need to return this to the dyer's front garden, because I borrowed it. And if I don't return it, it means I've stolen it, all right? And Jesus will know, even if they don't notice, okay? And Jesus was offensive to people. In fact, Galatians 5 tells us that the cross is foolishness and an offense, yeah? When you preach the gospel, when you witness to people, some people get offended. In fact, it's become very fashionable now, and comedians do it. I don't know why, because it's not funny. To set out to offend people, to deliberately upset rubbish and trash people. You know, the whole trolling thing on the internet. You know, just I'm out to upset, I'm out to offend. And in one sense, the gospel is offensive. Okay? And the reading we had this morning was Jesus saying things that puzzled people. And in other places, when he talked about his identity and his relationship with his father, he says they got offended. Yeah? They took offence at him, so they picked up stones, and they would have been this size. I mean, imagine a group of people hurling these at your head. Yeah, you might duck the first one or two. Sorry, I'm not going to demonstrate this morning. Right? So the people in the back row went, no. Yeah, you might duck the first few, but eventually they're going to land, aren't they? Yeah. So I want to talk this morning about the different things you can do with the stones that people throw at you. Okay, because there's this terrible, terrible proverb, isn't there? Do you have this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never. What a load of rubbish, isn't it? Yeah, the things people say to you, if you let it in, can damage you for life. Yeah, things said to you. I bet some of you in the room can still remember things said to you by less than thoughtful teachers. Yeah? Those kind of things get you. Yeah, it's not true. But it is true that stones will break your bones. Or the big one will. The little one will sting a little bit. So what do you do with your offence? So we're going to look at several scriptures that talk about things people did with the stones in their lives. Okay? I'm getting to like this. I may take it home. But yeah. So Isaiah 62 says something interesting. It says, I'm going to mention lots of scriptures and you can read them and check out, but I think you're going to know most of them. So Isaiah 62 says this. It talks about leveling mountains and raising up valleys. Okay? I understand the functionality of that, but I like mountains and valleys. But speaking metaphorically. And then it says, remove the stones to make a highway. So we get to take down the difficult times, we get to take down the hard, raise up the hard times, yeah? And we get to take stones out of the highway, yeah? People are going to do things, going to throw stones at you. They are going to say things that whether they intend them or not, and sometimes they do, are going to get in the way of your journey. Yeah? I mean, you know, we've all walked over rugged ground, you know, and while it can be quite nice and picturesque spiritually, it's slow, it's difficult, and it's painful. Yeah? And scripture says, get the stones out of the highway. Yeah? Because you do, don't you, that the highway for Jesus moving is his people. Yeah? He's not building a new M5, M4, and thankfully not a new M25. Okay? He's not doing that. But he is building a highway of people. Yeah? Who move quickly and consistently. Yeah? Without the ups and downs. Yeah? And also without stones. Things people have done to you, things people have said to you that you just trip over. Yeah? Things that have been said to you in the past that every time something happens or a circumstance comes up and you get an opportunity, you get triggered and you remember a stone that somebody threw at you. Okay? So do you remember Paul on the island of, I forget which island it was, but my wife's got a theology, so she'll tell me. So Paul was shipwrecked, gathering up sticks. Yeah? Patmos? Patmos sounds familiar. All the clever people in the room go, Patmos? I can't remember if it was Patmos or Cyprus. Is it Cyprus? It was Cyprus. I'm voting Cyprus. Been there. I liked it. Okay. So Paul's gathering up sticks, yeah, and throws them in the fire. And do you remember a snake comes out? Yeah, and bites him. Do you remember what the natives said? The locals, superstitious people, said, oh, the snake's got him. He's being punished. Perhaps he was a murderer. Yeah? What does Paul do? Paul shakes the snake off in the fire. And they're all waiting for Paul to shrivel up, swell up, or whatever, and die. Yep. And here's the challenge. Sometimes the things people throw at you, because that was like, you're going to die, you deserve to die, you're a murderer, you're going to... The trouble is that sometimes those things that are said are true. Because Paul had been a murderer. Paul had murdered Christians. And at that point, he's got a choice. He's going to let that rock land, yeah, and he's going to partner with the snake and agree with the snake and agree with the locals, yeah, and who knows that what you agree with kind of becomes a part of you. Yeah? He's got that choice. What am I going to do with that rock? Am I going to agree with it? Or I'm going to go, do you know what? No. I'm forgiven. I've repented. I've repaired my relationships to the people that were damaged by what I did, yeah. And Jesus took my punishment on the cross. I am not swelling up and dying. Okay? And he didn't. And interestingly, the people waiting for him to die, when he didn't, then went to the other extreme and said, gosh, he's not a murderer, he's a god. Yeah? I mean, let's listen to Jesus and people we trust, not people who vacillate wildly from you're great to you're terrible, or from you're terrible to you're great. Because if you build on, what was the phrase, man's empty praise, one day it's going to disappear. Okay? So enjoy it while it's there, but don't build your life on it. Just a passing thought. It's not even in the notes. It's mortar. See, my wife's got an ology. She knows this stuff. 2 Kings 3:19 says something very interesting. It accuses people, an interesting phrase, of ruining a field with stones. Yeah. So I googled stones in the Bible, you know, to see what came up. All sorts of stuff came up. And that one came up, and I'm thinking, ruining a field with stones. It sounds good. So a friend of mine, Jim Sewell, he's a farmer, and he actually does hate stones in his field. I'm thinking, okay, so how do you ruin a field with stones? Well, who knows that the field, scripturally, talks of the field of the harvest? Yeah? And who knows that when we throw stones at each other, we damage the harvest? So non-Christians will go, you can't get on. You're always slagging each other off. Yeah? You're always throwing stones, metaphorically, at each other. Who knows that when we do that, it's causing not just damage to the person we're aiming at, yeah, but we're causing collateral damage to the harvest. Yeah? So let's not do that. Let's not throw stones at each other and damage people we may never meet and never know. But for whom what we're doing doesn't model Jesus very well. Because it's really tempting, isn't it, when people throw stones at you, to pick them up and start throwing them back. Really? I mean, Stephen in Acts 7, I think it was. You know, the poor guy's being stoned. I'd have kind of, all right, I can play that game. You have some of that as well. Yeah? It's really tempting to throw stones back. But it really doesn't help. Yeah? How you respond when people throw stones at you really makes a big difference. Yeah? So Stephen's response was, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Okay? Now, if I'd been there and that thought had crossed my mind, I'd have been, you're kidding, right? They know exactly what they're doing. Yeah? They're throwing stones. They are intentionally trying to do me harm, hurt me, and do me damage. But Stephen goes, you know, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. A phrase I think he probably learnt from Jesus on the cross at Calvary. Yeah? Responding in a godly way by not picking a fight, yeah? By not retaliating, I think Jesus called it turning the other cheek, you never know the spiritual power that releases in the situation. Because watching Stephen get stoned and watching how Stephen responded was a young man called Paul, who looked after the coats of the stoners. That's not a drug culture thing, that's a description of people who throw stones, okay? So he looked after the coats, and he watched, yeah? And who knows, what he saw was Jesus in Stephen, yeah? How Stephen responded was a phenomenal witness to a man who became the greatest apostle of his day, yeah? Who saw thousands saved, many churches planted, and influences Christians for several thousand years. Yeah? Stephen was his first most powerful witness. You have no idea of the spiritual power and influence you have and release when you respond in a godly way to how people treat you. Yeah? You have no idea. Let's not damage the harvest. I really must stick to my notes. In the Old Testament, we read stories about sheep and goats and camels, and they all need water. Okay, so having a well was really important. In fact, entire communities grew up around wells. And if you wanted to damage an adversary, you wanted to cause them harm, cause them difficulty, destroy their income and their wealth, you'd bung up their well. Yeah? You fill it with dirt, rocks, and stones. Okay? Biblically, yeah, the well is a metaphor for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Sometimes the stones that get thrown at us, yeah, will try and bung up our well. Yeah, that they'll try and stop the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And who knows, it's the hardest time in the world to kind of keep in God's presence and keep flowing is when it feels like the entire world's against you. Yeah? One of the early songs we sang, we sang Give and Take Away, didn't we? Written by Matt Redman. Am I right in thinking he wrote that following the death of his young baby? Miscarriage. Okay? Who knows that when you can dig deep and find, and when you dig deep, the deep in you calls to the deep in him. Yeah? The deep in you. Yeah? And at times like that, you have to dig deep, don't you? You can't live on the surface. Yeah? But who knows that when you dig deep, your deep calls to his deep. Yeah? And sweet things flow from it. Yeah? What the devil tried to do to destroy something, when we dig deep, God digs deep and does something deep. You get the idea, it's deep. Okay? So listen, don't let life or people bunging rocks at you bung up your will. It's kind of, no, you are not having that. You are not depriving me of the source of my life, my energy. You are not having my world. You're not having my family. You're not having my emotions. Yeah? You get that out of my will. Okay? And sometimes people will do things that get in, you know, you feel God saying something to you and he's leading you a particular way or he's giving you a particular gift. Now, we all work in community and we all want to benefit from the wisdom of others. But there'll also be people who chuck rocks at you. Yeah? And try and stifle what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life individually, in your life as a family, and in your life as a community. Okay? Now, we do live in community and we do want wisdom. But we don't want people bunging our well out with rocks, do we? Yeah? Don't let them in. All right? Don't let them in. I'm enjoying the rocks thing. It's awesome. So there's a great story. So we all know when Joshua led the children of Israel across the river, yeah, the priest's ark standard, whoomp, waters pass. Not the Moses one, the Joshua one. And you'll find that story in Joshua 4, verses 4 to 9. And it was a phenomenal miracle. Like it's like a Moses type miracle, you know. Dump water parts both sides. It's phenomenal. Okay? Utterly, I mean, can you imagine seeing that? Yeah? Would you have the courage to walk between the two walls of water? I want to know what it was like for the fish in the river. Did they, like, come up to the wall and peek through the... I don't know. Who knows? But it's a phenomenal miracle. And what God says to Joshua is, you need to build a memorial to this. Okay? So, 12 guys need to take a stone, probably quite a big stone, more like a rock if I'm honest, and you need to collect those from the midst of the Jordan, and you need to use those rocks, those stones, and put up a memorial. It was like 12 stones just piled on top of each other. Yeah? You're to build a memorial to what God did here. Yeah? And it's to be a reminder to you, and your children, and your children's children's children, that this is what God did on this day. And that memorial is to stay there forever. Okay? That's a good thing, isn't it? That's the first good thing we've done with stones, isn't it? We can build a memorial. Who knows that sometimes there's a temptation to camp around the memorial. It's kind of, this is what God did today. This is obviously what God's going to do. So we're going to camp around the memorial. And that would have been a huge mistake. Yeah? Because memorials are, this is what God did, we're going to remember it, we're going to celebrate it, we're going to give thanks, it's going to be a great testimony, I'm going to tell my children's children's children. But I'm not going to camp at the memorial. Because if I camp at the memorial, I miss the promised land. Yeah? So let's not camp around the transient deeds of God. Yeah? Or God doing things a particular way. Let's celebrate them. Let's remember them. Let's enjoy them. Let's build them into our lives and our theology and our experience. And then keep pressing on to the promised land. Don't camp around your memorials. Don't camp around what has been. Yeah. There's a well-known scripture where God says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." You probably heard a sermon on God doing new things. But then it says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it?" Answer, sometimes no. Yeah. Sometimes we are so caught up with the memorial, which was really good, by the way. I mean, it's awesome. If I could part rivers, we'd all be at Millennium Park Stadium with a lot more people, wouldn't we? Yeah. But so it was an awesome thing to do. Yeah? But let's not become so fixed on what God did today that we get stuck at today, which tomorrow becomes yesterday, and which today's new thing now becomes an old thing, yeah, and miss the promised land. Yeah? Don't camp around what has gone. Don't get stuck in the past. Okay? And there's a brilliant story about some poor man who got stuck in the past. And I'm all over the place this morning. So this is 2 Samuel, but it's good. This is 2 Samuel 16. In 2 Samuel 16, there's a brilliant story. David and his men are on a journey. And somebody who was a great friend and loyal supporter of Saul, the king before King David, yeah, is following them. So they're walking along, and this guy's following them on a hilltop. Yeah, and as they're going, he's kind of out of his loyalty to Saul, because who knows, misplaced loyalty to the past will cause you to despise what God's doing now. He's on a hill lobbing stones at David and his men. You know, so they're walking along, and this guy's grabbing a rock or two, lobbing it at David and his men, who are ducking and dodging and sometimes getting hit, you know, saying all sorts of terrible things about him. Yeah, you can read the story if you want. And David's warriors kind of, let's go and kill him. Let's go chop his head off. Yeah, and David's, no, I'm not picking a fight. Yeah, I'm not going to pick a fight with the past. I'm just not going to camp at it. Because who knows, you don't press into what God's doing today or tomorrow by criticizing what he's done in the past. Yeah? Somebody wants to camp in the past, you don't move on by criticizing what God's done. Yeah? And David was, no, Saul was God's man at the time. I'm not going to pick a fight with someone, but, you know, nor am I going to stay where they are. And it's interesting because David continues his journey. He doesn't stop. He doesn't get distracted. He goes on. He presses on. He gets where he's going. But it's interesting. It says David arrived exhausted and needed refreshing. Okay? Sometimes when you throw rocks at people, it exhausts them, doesn't it? And when people throw rocks at you, you use your energy dealing with it, managing your own response, managing the response of your family and those around you and those important to you. Because isn't it true sometimes that it's... Tom's supposed to finish. Just keep going. They're going to so regret you said that. I've also forgotten what I was going to say now. What was I saying? Help me, help me. What was I saying, dear? Times of refreshing. I've got it. Okay, awesome. Thank you. David arrives exhausted, and what exhausts you is managing your own emotions, your own responses, keeping godly, which is always really easy, of course, you know, and those around you. And isn't it true that when people do things for me, do things to me, I deal with it. When they do things to my kids, yeah, I'll deal much better with harm you do me than harm you do to my children. And since I acquired a granddaughter, heaven help you if you spoil her world. She's 2 years and 3 months old. She is the cutest thing on the planet. And her mummy, Hannah, said to me recently, she said, "David, Lily wraps you round her little finger." And I went, "It's my favourite place." "Yes, of course she does. It's just awesome." And Adam came to me a couple of months ago and he said, "Dad, I need to talk to you about when you look after Lily." Oh, I'm in trouble now. And it's interesting because I now get to relate to my son as a father, which is a bit of a mind shift for me because I'm the daddy. I'm just not Lily's daddy, my granddaughter. So when we talk about Lily, Adam's in charge, not enjoying that at all, but I get to honour my son, don't I? So I'm thinking, oh, he's going to tell me off. I probably deserve it and I need to receive it well and not throw rocks at him. And he was very respectful. He didn't throw rocks. But he said, "I need you to start saying no to Lily. Because when she spends a day with you and comes home after a day of yeses, when we say no, she doesn't like it. So, no's not in my job description. Grandparent, yes. Grandparent, yes. That's what I'm there for, isn't it? So, but here's my point. Watching things happen to people we love is often harder than having things happen to ourselves. Yeah? And that's kind of right. Yeah, because if we formed relationships, what happens to the people around us really matters. You know, we're not indifferent to these things. Yeah, but nor do we get to pick a fight on their behalf. You know, so Christine and I have been through some interesting stuff. I went through some interesting stuff kind of in my world of work. And Christine was more angry than me, you know, and I kind of liked it. And I said, put the rocks down, dear. You do not get to throw stones at people. Well, all right, just one or two, because it makes me feel really good. But that's the trouble, isn't it? Revenge isn't ours. Yeah, and it's hard, but it's godly. And it releases something when we respond in a Jesus-like way. Okay. So I've completely lost my place in my notes. Page 5 was really good. Yeah. So we've got the message, haven't we? We don't get to throw rocks at people. But we do get to do something with them. There's places they do belong. They do belong in memorials. Okay? They don't belong in your spiritual well. Okay? They don't belong in people's heads. but they can belong in a memorial. But the other thing you can do with a rock is you can build an altar. So the people of Israel are often commanded in the wilderness to build an altar and to gather rocks and build an altar of rocks. Yeah. And there's an interesting piece in somewhere where it says build an altar of rocks, build them from, the phrase is, undressed stones. What it means by that is just take the rock as it is in its rock shape, don't fashion it with an iron tool, don't make it nice, don't make it pretty, don't make it tidy, just take it as it is. Yeah? And build an altar with no pretense. Build an altar of undressed stones as they really are. Yeah? And who knows, in our hard times, what we really are comes out. Yeah, 'cause I don't know about you, but I'm really good at looking really good at times like this. Yeah? If you want to, I'm really like, you have to live with me. And even that's okay some days, isn't it? You thought too long and hard about that. But in the difficult times, us in all of our rawness gets exposed. Okay? And who knows, that's okay. Because read the Psalms of King David. I mean, things happened to him, and he wouldn't pick up rocks and throw them, but he'd go back to God and go, God, come on. You know, you're my vindicator. Yeah, God, Christine said it this weekend, God can cope with our rantings and our ravings. Yeah. And interestingly, on the altar, I will find it because it's a particular occasion. Altar, Deuteronomy 27:5 says this. It says, "Build an altar of raw stones with no pretense, not fashionable, just as they really are. And on this altar, offer fellowship sacrifices and offerings." Who knows that sometimes staying in fellowship is a sacrifice? And sometimes staying in good fellowship means we make an offering of our own agendas. We get to put them on an altar. Yeah. So in the difficult times, let's use the rocks to build an altar. And know that we will do what we need to do to preserve fellowship. Okay? So There's a proverb that says, how can two men walk together unless they agree? Do you know this proverb? It's in the Bible. And people have used that proverb to divide churches and communities. I don't agree with you, therefore we can't walk together. We see, how can two men walk together unless they agree? It's not a curse. It's a question. It's not a pronouncement of judgment. It's not like you don't agree so you can't walk together. Who knows, my wife and I don't always agree. Sometimes she's right. And one day I hope to be. Yeah? But until that day, yeah, we get to walk together even when we don't agree. You see, how can two men walk together unless they agree is not a curse or a pronouncement, it's a question. And do you know what the answer to that question is? How do two men walk together if they don't agree? Well, it's exactly the same as marriage. We can walk together we don't agree when relationship is more important than agreement. Let's agree to disagree. And not throw stones when they're not looking. Yeah, I'm sure you'd never do that. But just in case you change your mind, here's one you might want to use later. No, don't. Yeah. What did I just say? Let's agree to disagree. Yeah? We have divided and separated and broken relationships over trivia. Now, there are some things that are immutable truth. But not as many things as you might think. Yeah? And if Christine and I can make it work, so can you. Yeah? Because our relationship is more important than our agreement. Which means when we don't agree, we don't give up and separate. For the sake of relationship, we work at it. Yeah? We talk it through, we debate it, we reason, we argue, and then eventually I agree. And it's served us really well for 30-something years. But you get the idea, yeah? There is a time to throw stones at people. Isn't that good? Yeah? The time to throw stones to people is when no one's looking and when you don't get caught. Not. Okay? Because Jesus knows. Yeah? But there is a time to throw stones at people. David and Goliath would be a really good example. Okay? Now, Goliath was a man, but he was an abnormal man. And Goliath, the spirit on Goliath was one of intimidation, threat and fear. Yeah? And, you know, he was big, he was impressive, he was scary, you know. Man on man, he was probably undefeatable till God intervened. Yeah, and he certainly looked undefeatable to everybody else. And here's why. For two reasons. One, everybody believed his threats and intimidation. Yeah? Because he was louder and bigger. Who knows that it's easy to believe those who seem louder and bigger. Okay? You know, there are people who looked at Goliath and went, he's huge, I can't win. But David looked at Goliath and went, he's huge, I can't miss. Yeah? There's So David comes along. And so for two reasons, they believed his intimidation and his threats. Yeah. And the other reason that, see, one man, it was a big man, but one man kept an entire army hidden. Yeah. And shut down and afraid. Partly because he looked scary and they believed him, but secondly, because they accepted battle on his terms. So the enemy defined the terms. And he defined the terms in his favour. Let's fight one-on-one. Those are not good terms to fight a battle. Who knows that you are not called to fight your spiritual battles one-on-one? You know, it's a kind of, yeah, I'm not fighting you one-on-one. God has given me this community. Yeah? And I'm not going to let you isolate me and separate me. Yeah? I'm going to draw my friends, my family, they're going to pray, we're going to stand together, they're going to do stuff, they're going to help me, they're going to give me cook meals, they're going to give me money, they're going to be whatever it takes, okay? But they accepted Goliath's terms. Yeah? And David was like, well, if you lot are not going to man up and do it, yeah, I am not accepting your restrictions. So David goes to a stream, interestingly, and it says he picked out, do you remember how many? 5 stones. Only needed one, apparently. Who knows, those stones were put in a sling, okay? Those stones did not look like this, okay? Because this is too big and too bulky. And who knows, you're tempted to grab something big and bulky when you're facing something big and scary. But you don't always need something big and bulky for something big and scary. So David took 5 stones out of a stream that were probably nearer this size. This also came from their garden, and you can have this one back. Interestingly, David took these stones, and it says the stones were, do you remember? Smooth. How do stones get smooth? They get made smooth by staying in the river and letting the river rub off their rough edges. So that when the time comes to fly, they do so true, accurately, fast and streamlined, straight to their target, taking out the evil one. Yeah? So let the river of his presence run over the stones in your life and rub off the hard bits. Because there's a piece of us, I'm going to need something really big. No, you don't. You just need something that's been in the river long enough to be powerful enough to do its job. Yeah? And who would imagine that something this big would take out something, I don't know, was he 9, 10, 11, 12 feet tall? You know, huge. You know, his spear vaguely resembled one of those columns. Yeah? So let's see, sometimes things happen to us and we kind of get out of the river of his presence. Yeah, because we need to be more active. And there does come a time for action. Yeah, but the time for action always comes after being in the river long enough for you to get polished, made smooth, rough edges gone, so that you fly straight and true and take out the impossible. Yeah, because you've stayed in the river of his presence. Do you guys want to do anything at this stage? No? You don't. You don't want to say something. You don't want to talk. We've worked with the church down in Folkestone on the south coast for about 3 or 4 years now. And their church have ministered around recently. I said, David, we've had a request from a church in Northern Ireland. They want one of the sermons that was on the website. And it was 2015, but they've heard about it, and they think it'd be really useful. Are you okay if we send it to them? And I'm thinking, international ministry, here I come. So, yeah, that'll be lovely, Ali. Alison's the name. Ali, that'll be great, yeah. Send it to them, it's awesome. And send them my email address, and, you know, I'm available, and send me tickets. And I say, by the way, which sermon was it? Oh, the one Christine preached on being offended. So I couldn't even be offended because the sermon was about being offended. So I've now waffled long enough for you to decide whether you really want to say nothing or not. Okay, that's great. So here's my challenge to you. People are going to throw things at you. Often words, accusations, lies. Sometimes they'll say things that were true but aren't true anymore, like Paul's a murderer. Yeah? Don't throw rocks at people. It damages the harvest. Yeah? Build altars where you sacrifice your personal agendas for the sake of relationship. Yeah? Get them out of your way so that you can be the highway for his presence. Yeah? Build memorials, but don't camp there. It's a lonely place. Because everybody else is moving on. Yeah? And as long as you know who your enemy is, and our enemy is never flesh and blood, you know this, don't you? Look around the room. Look around the room. Seriously, look around the room. Do you see anybody who's not flesh and blood? So everybody in the room is flesh and blood. Okay? They're not your enemy. No, really, they're not. They may look like it. They may sound like it sometimes, but they never are. So as long as you know who your enemy is, take one of the polished stones, yeah, and lob it at the evil one's head, yeah? And when that accusation and lie falls over, cut its head off, yeah? Kill it dead, because it doesn't belong in your life. Amen? Awesome. I think I've finished. 2 minutes. Thank you.